Oh, goodness gracious. Good morning, church. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, he is risen indeed. Let's learn that response. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What a great, great Sunday. It has been a busy weekend for my wife and I, my family and I, and I wasn't able. Normally, I try to go to the sunrise service that's out off of Rock Road, but this morning I just couldn't do it. But I got up early and I was able to get to our parking lot, and I pulled in the parking lot, and this was what I got to see. This was the sunrise that was coming up, and my pet deer were right out there. I was like, oh, this is just, I mean, it was just picturing. It was such a beautiful day outside. And then we all gather together in here, and it's such a beautiful day inside as well. "I've never seen such a crowd in church," woman exclaimed. Well, the preacher didn't know this particular lady, but apparently she was impressed by the number of people who had assembled for Easter worship. And then as he was sort of shaking her hand and she was moving towards the exit door, she said, "Do you suppose it'll make any difference?" And the preacher held onto her hand for just a moment so that she couldn't get away and says, "What do you mean? Will what make any difference?" "Easter," she shot back. "Will Easter make any difference for all these people? Or will life tomorrow be the same as it was yesterday?" Now, the lady's question was a truly, I think, profound question. It's the one I want us to think about just for a little while this morning. Will Easter make any difference for all these people? Or will life tomorrow be the same as it was yesterday? Will Easter make any difference in your life? Will the week that's coming be any different for you because of Easter today? And I'm not talking about the bunny or the eggs or the colorful outfits or the fantastic baskets and candy or festive lunch gatherings, but will the remembrance, will the celebration of what happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' resurrection, will that make any difference in your life? I know that we often focus on the cross of Jesus, and justifiably so. If you were here last week, we talked a whole lot about the cross of Jesus. But I'm going to say something at the outset of this lesson that may, to you, sound absolutely wrong, maybe ungodly, or blasphemous, if you want to use a big word. But it has to be said. Without the resurrection, the cross would be irrelevant. Just sounds wrong, doesn't it? It sounds terrible. So much of our theology, so much of what we think about God is rooted in the cross of Jesus. And it's drawn out of that cross. The way we understand God, it all goes back to that cross. And we talked about that a lot last week. It is a powerful picture. The cross is a powerful picture of the sacrificial love of our Creator God for us, His creation. But the statement is still true. The resurrection is what makes the cross powerful. Without the resurrection, the cross is emptied of its power. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. He was talking to these Christians in Corinth, some of whom did not believe they were going to have a resurrection. They believed that, yes, Jesus was great and all this great stuff he taught and all these miracles that he did. Jesus is amazing. But I'm dead. When I'm dead, I'm like Rover. I'm dead all over. So I'm never going to be resurrected. And so the Apostle Paul, even though they're Christians, they're followers of Jesus, but they don't ever believe they can be resurrected. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a whole lengthy argument. I'm trying to just pick some verses here that sort of summarize what Paul said. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, in other words, if you're not raised from the dead, then not even Christ was raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus was not raised from that grave, what hope do we have? If Jesus was not resurrected, no matter how fantastic his crucifixion, no matter how sinless his life, no matter how powerful his coming from heaven to earth, if he was not raised from the dead, then we too are doomed to only have this life. And that, Paul says, is pitiable. But the resurrection did happen, and that makes you and me, that transforms us. That makes us something different. That makes us people of hope. Now hear me on this. I don't mean it makes us hopeful people or like blind optimists or gullible rubes. I mean hope, people of hope, in the sense that we are people who live in hope and who extend that hope to other people around us. And maybe the best way to explain that is to give you a story. And kids, listen up. It's a story about a clown. Once, there was a children's hospital ward, and it was super depressing because the children in there didn't feel like they had any hope. And that hope was reflected on the faces of the nurses. The nurses who requested changes of station, changes of assignment, because it was so depressing for them. And even the parents and the friends didn't want to be in there because it was just a hopeless situation. The dire circumstances were just too much for them. Then along, one day, comes a man dressed up in a clown outfit. Now the nurses, like any rational adult, do not want children to be around these weirdo clowns. Clowns are scary, and it is not an argument to be made against that. But here comes this guy dressed up in a clown outfit, and so the nurses were apprehensive. Some of the parents were understandably offended, but the kids laughed. And the children sensed from the very beginning that the clown loved them. And that the clown more than loved them, the clown had hope for them. And so the clown hoped that today was not the end of the world for these children. And he had a really powerful influence on the children because he gave them hope. And then the nurses began to work with the clown, and they began to laugh and to smile, and the children began to love the nurses. And it changed the parents too, because they began to love the clown, and they began to have hope themselves. And then one day, the clown did not come to the hospital. The clown's own life had been cut short. However, he lives on in that hospital ward. He lives on in the smile, which is still there because he's the one who gave it to the children. Someone else now wears that silly costume. Someone else now paints on that crazy smile. But most importantly, someone else is still bringing hope through love. For us, living in the presence of the living Lord, living in the power of the resurrection, living in Christ, means that we get to carry on the work of the one who gave hope, the one who brought victory. We have hope because he still lives, and we have hope that we too will still live. And so we live in a way that brings hope to everyone else, brings hope to brokenness, brings hope to people and that their lives and people and events and circumstances, that they don't have to stay that way. And everybody thinks you're an exception. Now, we make a joke about this in our culture that, everybody's special. You're special just like everybody else, right? And yet, in our hearts, you think it is true for you, I'll bet you. Now, maybe you don't think that you are super great. Maybe you don't think that you are super amazing. But I'll bet somewhere in your heart of hearts, you think that you are super broken and cannot be fixed the way other people can be fixed. You think about your family background, your history of screw-ups, the things you have said and done and thought, the shallowness of your faith, the weakness of your walk, and you think in your heart of hearts that you cannot be fixed the way so-and-so can be fixed. And Jesus marches right into your broken, special life and says, "You're not so special. I can fix you too. You don't have to live in hopelessness. You are not broken in some super secret special way that I cannot fix. You are not damaged beyond repair. And no matter how badly you may have messed it up so far, I can redeem every inch of your life." And so we get to live in that hope. We have the hope that there is a destiny of change. Like, this change is going to happen whether you're on board with it or not. This change is coming. It is a destiny of renewal and of new life because Jesus Christ is risen and he is living in his presence. And the Holy Spirit in this world means that we are not people who live in despair despite all the terrible circumstances and all the arguing and fighting and disease and bad things that happen in our world, that we don't live in that despair. It means that we are people who live in hope despite all the circumstances. We hope that through his presence, through God's presence, through his power in our lives, that God can make winners out of losers. That life does not have to continue the way it has done so far. That Easter makes a difference in that way. And I want to give you just one more way that I think Easter makes a difference. Not only does it make us people of hope, Easter makes us people of peace. Now, as resurrection people, we live in the knowledge that God, through Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit today, that God is in control of this life. We have peace knowing that we can surrender our lives into God's hands and that God is going to be capable, right? That God can handle wherever we are, even when it looks awful. And everybody, you can examine your own lives and you can examine your circumstances and you can know things either are or are not working out according to plan. And for most of us, we'll say life is not exactly going the way I thought it would go. My marriage is not all I hoped it would be. I'm not the parent I thought I hoped I would be. I'm not making the sort of money I was hoping I would make. My bills are not going away the way I thought they would. I'm not as advancing in my work the way I thought I would advance. I'm not living in the house I thought I would live in. All these things, all right, they're just not working out the way we thought that they would work out. And we, as people of the resurrection, can live in all that messed upness, all that unworked outness, and know God is still in control. I don't understand how. I don't understand what he's going to do with it. I don't know how he's going to fix it. I don't know any of that. But I can have the peace dwelling in the knowledge that somehow, some way, God will work it out. I may not have the job that I wanted to have, but I'm where God wants me to be. I may not have been the spouse or the parent or the son or the daughter or the friend or the student, or I may not have been what I hoped I would be, but God's going to work it out. And if you think about it, that was the peace that Thomas, we think of him as Doubting Thomas, but that was the peace that Thomas was looking for, and it drove him away from the community. Thomas was separate from all the other apostles when Jesus appeared, and he showed all them, and they were like, "Oh, wow, Jesus is back. This is amazing." And Thomas comes back, and he is so frustrated because Thomas has made his own peace with the death of Jesus. You know how we do. things go terrible and we'll just sort of make peace with it. Like I'm not a great husband, but I guess that's just who I am. And so I'll just make peace with being a sorry husband. I'm broken in some way and I just make my peace with it. That's what Thomas does with the death of Jesus. Jesus died and it was awful, but I've just sort of made my peace with it. But like all man-made human peace, it is a frail and fragile and flimsy thing. He was living in frustration and loneliness and despair and sorrow. And he was like, but that's just the way it is. I've made my peace with it. So when he returns to the community of believers and Christ appeared to him, he found that God's peace was different than his peace. And he said, my Lord and my God. Thomas gave up his own conditional human peace and his own human demands for the way things have to be. And when he did, he gains this divine sense of peace, a peace that does not come from Thomas. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God. It is from heaven. And it is a sense of confidence, a sense of strength, a sense of quiet power that God and his Son and the Spirit were indeed continuing on and living. Easter makes a difference when we realize that we don't have control of our lives. Thank the Lord, I am not in control of all my life. I don't have to have my way all the time. Tell my wife that, because sometimes she thinks I have to have my way all the time, because I can be pretty stubborn, right? But not for this piece. I don't have to have my way. I don't have to have my demands met or my conditions met. There is a piece in this Easter message which says we belong to God regardless of the circumstances. There's a story told about a little boy, and he was really sick. And his parents didn't tell him, and they just, you know, he knew he was sick, but his parents didn't want to tell him about that. But he knew. He knew, and so he asked his mom one day, he said, Mom, what's going to happen? Is it going to hurt? And his mother thought about how is she going to explain this, right? So she searches for an answer, and she goes, Charlie, do you remember when you used to go out and you'd play with your friends all day? And you'd be so tired that after dinner, we'd all go in, you'd be watching TV, and you'd just fall asleep in your chair, just in your regular clothes on, right? You didn't have a bath. You just pooped out. And that wasn't where you belonged. But in the morning, you always woke up where you did belong. You woke up in your own bed in your pajamas. Your dad would carry you upstairs into your room and tuck you into your bed where you belong. Charlie, she said, I think that's what it's like. It's like waking up some morning and finding ourselves in another room in the exact place where we belong. That is the peace which Christ gives our lives. The knowledge, the conviction, the comfort, the confidence that we belong to Him no matter where we find ourselves. No matter how our life is going on earth, we belong to God. And this morning, I hope that you get to spend some time with your family, with your friends. I hope you get to take some really awesome, beautiful, bright, colorful pictures. I hope, you know, above all hopes, that you get a Reese's peanut butter egg, because that is the glory of Easter. I hope you get to share a meal with loved ones. But my prayer for you, my prayer for us as a congregation, is that tomorrow and the day after that, and all the tomorrows after that, that we will be people who have been changed by the resurrection, that we will be people of hope and people of peace. Because Easter doesn't just make a difference today. Easter makes all the difference in the world. It transforms the very nature of our reality, that all we see, all the badness and brokenness and kind of halfway theirs and not really theirs at all. All that we see, that is not the true truth. That the true truth, the real truth, the forever truth, is that Jesus was raised from the dead, and so will we be. This morning, this week, may God bless you in that endeavor. And if we can pray for you, encourage you, lift you up, today is a day of resurrection. Let's do that together. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?